A new edition of the Zappos Culture Book is produced, which we give out to prospective employees, vendors, and even customers. I sent the following email to all of our employees in August 2004. From Tony Shea to all Zappos employees. Subject, Zappos Culture Book. We will be putting together a mini book as part of the orientation package for all new hires about the Zappos culture. Our culture is the combination of all of our employees' ideas about the culture, so we would like to include everyone's thoughts in this book. Please email me 100 to 500 words about what the Zappos culture means to you. What is the Zappos culture? What's different about it compared to other company cultures? What do you like about our culture? We will compile everyone's contribution into the book. If you wish for your entry to be anonymous, please indicate so in your response. We will be distributing the book to all new hires as well as all existing employees. Also, please do not talk to anyone about what you will be writing or what anyone else wrote. We want to know what the Zappos culture means to you specifically, as it will be different for different people. We wanted to be as transparent as possible, so we decided that none of the entries would be censored or edited, except for typos. Every edition of our culture book includes both the good and the bad, so that people reading the book can get a real sense of what our culture is like. With each new edition, it would also be a way of documenting how our culture was evolving over time. While the vast majority of the entries in our first culture book were positive, we also learned that not every employee was thrilled about the company's growth. A couple of early Zappos employees complained about the additional processes and procedures that we had implemented and not being able to do things the way we used to. Some things, like filling out expense reports, were necessary byproducts of our growth. Other things, such as criticism about communication within the company being harder than before, served as a wake-up call for us to be more proactive on that front. Ask anything. The feedback from the culture book led us to launch a monthly employee newsletter called Ask Anything, which is literally just that. Employees are encouraged to send an email and ask any question they want. The anonymous questions and answers are compiled each month and emailed to the entire company. We continue to receive great questions from our employees. Here's a sample of some of the questions that have been asked.
When is the holiday party?
Who is on the Zappos.com board of directors?
What other music have we considered having as our hold music?
I have heard that there are some brands being discontinued. Do you know which brands are being discontinued?
Where do you see us in 3 years? How big, how many, and where?
Why are women's and men's shoe sizes different?
How many people at Zappos.com have the same birthday and anniversary date? Any one day more than others?
What's the most expensive item we've ever had on our site?
How much does Zappos spend on shipping to and from in any given month?
Do vegetarians eat animal crackers?
We spent the next several years focusing on improving the customer experience, strengthening our culture, and investing in our employees' personal and professional development. Our sales continue to grow, driven primarily by repeat customers and word of mouth. Eventually, Sequoia ended up investing in Zappos. Alfred moved to Vegas and joined the company full-time as CFO. We built out our board of directors, and Wells Fargo, in conjunction with two other banks, increased our credit line over time to $100 million. It felt strange to have gone from the brink of going out of business to such rapid growth over such a short period of time. We didn't know it at the time, but all the hard work and investments we made into customer service and company culture would pave the way for us to hit our goal of $1 billion in gross merchandise sales in 2008, 2 years ahead of our original goal of 2010. Looking back, a big reason we hit our goal early was that we decided to invest our time, money, and resources into three key areas. Customer service, which would build our brand and drive word of mouth. Culture, which would lead to the formation of our core values, and employee training and development, which would eventually lead to the creation of our pipeline team. Even today, our belief is that our brand, our culture, and our pipeline, which we internally refer to as BCP, are the only competitive advantages that we will have in the long run. Everything else can and will eventually be copied.
Cultivating the Culture Book by Jen. If you had to describe your company's culture in 2 or 3 paragraphs, what would you say? If you asked your coworkers to do the same, how similar or different do you think their answers would be? When Tony first talked to me about creating a culture book, my interest was piqued. It was such an unusual idea, one that no one had ever done in quite the same way. What Tony was contemplating was counterintuitive and somewhat risky. At the young age of 5, Zappos had just begun focusing its attention on brand and culture. The 10 core values weren't fully established yet, but a culture book seemed like a powerful way to focus the company on the core values, because all of the content would come from the source of those values, the people who worked at Zappos. The original idea was simple. We would ask employees to write, in a few paragraphs, the answer to the question, "What does Zappos culture mean to you?" Except for correcting typos, we would leave it unedited and publish everything in a book. Completely unedited? That's crazy. A few seconds and probably a vodka shot or two later. Yeah, let's do it. For Zappos, it was a risk worth taking. If the company was truly going to stand behind its culture and core values, there couldn't be a better way to see if Zappos was doing it right. What began as an off-the-cuff idea 5 years ago has now become something bigger. It started as a medium where employees could freely express themselves and a way everyone could get a pulse of where the company's culture and core values stood. Over time, we asked vendors, partners, and customers to contribute their perspectives too. Today, it's become a book of reference for anyone remotely interested in Zappos, be it as a job applicant, a small business owner, or a future entrepreneur. Above all, because the company believes culture is an essential part of its business, it has become the brand book. Over the years, I've always seen Zappos put its money where it matters most, even when it was incredibly scary. And the culture book is a great example of that. I can't think of a company that both talked and walked the same line as consistently as Zappos, taking risks on ideas before they were proven, before it was a billion-dollar company. In an age of transparency, when Twitter can contribute to a company's success or its downfall, is there anything more compelling than exposing your company's DNA to the world? Because of this, people wonder whether creating a culture book makes sense for their organization. If you thought about it too, here are a few things worth considering. Number 1. The culture book is not about the book. It's about the culture. If someone asks you to recite your corporate values or mission statement without looking it up, could you? People wonder how Zappos employees somehow remember all 10 core values by heart. To me, it's simple. It's easy when your company's core values are ones that apply not just to work, but to life. In the section about core values, you'll hear stories of how Zappos employees apply the same values outside the office. Without a separation of work and life, it's remarkable how values can be exactly the same. Before you create a culture book of your own, ask yourself, would you be comfortable printing everything your employees, customers, and partners have to say about your culture? If not, what would it take for you to get there? No culture book is worth much unless it reflects culture and values that are already in place. Number 2. It's a short-term expense, long-term investment. Once you have a culture, invest in it. To some companies, thinking long-term may be completely irrational. Spending money on printing and shipping a physical book in this technological age may sound wasteful and foolish. It's true. It's hard to calculate the return on investment of each culture book printed. But when you're trying to build a sustainable brand and create customer loyalty, sometimes saving money is not the point. The return you get from passionate people vouching for your company and culture, and the word of mouth that generates, is going to be intangible at the beginning. But over time, as it did for Zappos, the investment will pay off manyfold. Number 3. Make it available to everyone. We began by giving a copy to all the employees and partners who contributed to the book. Now the culture book is available to the general public. For more information, come to our website, www.deliveringhappinessbook.com. That always blows my mind. People are asking to read the culture book of someone else's company. When's the last time you've heard of anyone requesting to read a company's annual report or employee handbook outside of an investor or someone in HR? It's incredible to think people might not even know what Zappos sells, but they still want to know what's behind the idea of the culture book. Somewhere down the line, that person just might think of Zappos next time she or he needs a new pair of jeans or shoes. And it's worth a mention that book production costs are much more reasonable than you think. Number 4. Give your evangelists a voice. This past year was the first time we asked Zappos customers to get involved in the process. The response was amazing. We received submissions from all over the world, as well as emails from people who wished they lived in Kentucky or Nevada so they could apply for a job. But in the meantime, they'd love to be in a book associated with a company like Zappos. In the earlier years, we asked vendors and partners to be involved too. For a company that's relied heavily on word of mouth, it's become a valuable channel of communication. Not only is it educational to hear from them, it lets customers and partners know how important they are to Zappos too. Number 5. A word is a word, and a picture is worth 1,000, but a brand is worth 1,000,000. How do you convey something as intangible as a brand in something called the culture book? Short answer, if your culture stays true to its values and or mission statement, the words and images speak for themselves. Why? Because they're real. Every voice in the book is a unique perspective, but together, they're the gestalt of Zappos. Why does an employee on page 40 sound strangely similar to someone else on page 128 or 340? It's because everyone at Zappos lives by the 10 core values. By sharing a common belief system, Zappos employees become the unified brand to the world. As an aside, I'm always amused by people who say, Zappos must be a cult. In some ways, it is. But if a cult revolves around making people happy, I'll sign up anytime. Then comes the pictures part. By sprinkling in images of what the Zappos family does from morning to night, marshmallow peeps contests, happy hours, Zala days, the annual vendor party, we give readers a true sense of the brand in a non-obtrusive way. These aren't ads. These are pictures from our lives. Number 6. Not all cultures are the same. In all likelihood, your company's book will look nothing like the Zappos culture book. It's not because one's any better than the other. It's just because your values and mission are unique to your own company's thumbprint. Make it a true voice of what your culture represents, and it'll sing like it's in the shower. Number 7. Evolve. If you're still unsure of whether a culture book makes sense for your company, one way to get a pulse is to send out an email or survey first, asking your employees, partners, and customers, or a subset of them, what they think your company's culture means to them. Now, more than ever, they'll tell you the truth. We had no idea what the results would be when we did this, but the most educational part of the exercise was that we took it and evolved. Our original idea soon morphed into something more interesting. We welcomed negative feedback, knowing we'd learn and see whether the culture reads the same or different from the year before. If it's not in closer alignment to a company's values, goals, or mission, there's no doubt you'll know. 40 years from now, I imagine I'll be sitting on my rocking chair, browsing Zappos.com like I'm in Minority Report, tapping the air in front of me to pick out what I'm going to wear for my nephew's wedding. Who knows, maybe I'll be booking my flight on Zappos Airlines too. I'm not sure what form of the cultural book will exist at that point, but I do know one thing. I'll be reminiscing about those early Zappos days with a smile.
Branding through customer service. Over the years, the number one driver of our growth at Zappos has been repeat customers and word of mouth. Our philosophy has been to take most of the money we would have spent on paid advertising and invest it into customer service and the customer experience instead, letting our customers do the marketing for us through word of mouth. So, what is great customer service? It starts with what customers first see when they visit our website. In the United States, we offer free shipping both ways to make the transaction as easy as possible and risk-free for our customers. A lot of customers will order 5 different pairs of shoes, try them on with 5 different outfits in the comfort of their living rooms, and then send back the ones that don't fit or they simply don't like, free of charge. The additional shipping costs are expensive for us, but we really view those costs as a marketing expense. We also offer a 365-day return policy for people who have trouble committing or making up their minds. At most websites, the contact information is usually buried at least 5 links deep, and even when you find it, it's a form or email address that you can only contact once. We take the exact opposite approach. We put our phone number, 1-800-927-7671, at the top of every single page of our website because we actually want to talk to our customers. And we staff our call center 24/7. I personally think it's kind of funny when I attend marketing or branding conferences and hear companies talk about consumers being bombarded with thousands and thousands of advertising messages every day. Because there's usually a lot of discussion among companies and ad agencies talking about how to get their message to stand out. There's a lot of buzz these days about social media and integration marketing. As unsexy and low-tech as it may sound, our belief is that the telephone is one of the best branding devices out there. You have the customer's undivided attention for 5 to 10 minutes, and if you get the interaction right, what we found is that the customer remembers the experience for a very long time and tells his or her friends about it. Too many companies think of their call centers as an expense to minimize. We believe that it's a huge untapped opportunity for most companies, not only because it can result in word-of-mouth marketing, but because of its potential to increase the lifetime value of the customer. Usually, marketing departments assume that the lifetime value of a customer is fixed when doing their return on investment or ROI calculations. We view the lifetime value of a customer to be a moving target that can increase if we can create more and more positive emotional associations with our brand through every interaction that a person has with us. Another common trap that many marketers fall into is focusing too much on trying to figure out how to generate a lot of buzz, when really they should be focused on building engagement and trust. I can tell you that my mom has zero buzz, but when she says something, I listen. To that end, most of our efforts on the customer service and customer experience side actually happen after we've already made the sale and taken a customer's credit card number. For example, for most of our loyal repeat customers, we do surprise upgrades to overnight shipping, even though we only promise them standard ground shipping when they choose the free shipping option. In conjunction with that, we run our warehouse 24/7, which actually isn't the most efficient way to run a warehouse. The most efficient way to run a warehouse is to let the orders pile up so that when a warehouse worker needs to walk around the warehouse to pick the orders, the picking density is higher, so the picker has less of a distance to walk. But we're not trying to maximize for picking efficiency. We're trying to maximize the customer experience, which in the e-commerce business is defined in part by getting orders out to our customers as quickly as possible. The combination of a 24/7 warehouse, surprise upgrades to overnight shipping, and having our warehouse located just 15 minutes away from the UPS Worldport hub means that a lot of customers order as late as midnight Eastern Standard Time and are surprised when their orders show up on their doorstep 8 hours later. This creates a wow experience, which our customers remember for a very long time and tell their friends and family about. We receive thousands and thousands of phone calls and emails every single day, and we really view each contact as an opportunity to build the Zappos brand into being about the very best customer service and customer experience. Looking at every interaction through a branding lens instead of an expense minimization lens means we run our call center very differently from most call centers. Most call centers measure their employees' performance based on what's known in the industry as average handle time, which focuses on how many phone calls each rep can take in a day. This translates into reps worrying about how quickly they can get a customer off the phone, which in our eyes is not delivering great customer service. Most call centers also have scripts and force their reps to try to upsell customers to generate additional revenue. At Zappos, we don't measure call times. Our longest phone call was almost 6 hours long, and we don't upsell. We just care about whether the rep goes above and beyond for every customer. We don't have scripts because we trust our employees to use their best judgment when dealing with each and every customer. We want our reps to let their true personalities shine during each phone call so they can develop a personal emotional connection, internally referred to as PEC, with the customer. Another example of us using the telephone as a branding device is what happens when a customer calls looking for a specific style of shoes in a specific size that we're out of stock on. In those instances, every rep is trained to research at least 3 competitor websites, and if the shoe is found in stock, to direct the customer to the competitor. Obviously, in those situations, we lose the sale, but we're not trying to maximize each and every transaction. Instead, we're trying to build a lifelong relationship with each customer, one phone call at a time. A lot of people may think it's strange that an internet company is so focused on the telephone, when only about 5% of our sales happen through the telephone. In fact, most of our phone calls don't even result in sales. But what we found is that, on average, every customer contacts us at least once sometime during his or her lifetime, and we just need to make sure that we use that opportunity to create a lasting memory. The majority of phone calls don't result in an immediate order. Sometimes a customer may be calling because it's her first time returning an item, and she just wants a little help stepping through the process. Other times, a customer may call because there's a wedding coming up this weekend, and he just wants a little fashion advice. And sometimes, we get customers who call simply because they're a little lonely and want someone to talk to. I'm reminded of a time when I was in Santa Monica, California, a few years ago, at a Skechers sales conference. After a long night of bar hopping, a small group of us headed up to someone's hotel room to order some food. My friend from Skechers tried to order a pepperoni pizza from the room service menu, but was disappointed to learn that the hotel we were staying at did not deliver hot food after 11 p.m. We had missed the deadline by several hours. In our inebriated state, a few of us cajoled her into calling Zappos to try to order a pizza. She took us up on our dare, turned on the speakerphone, and explained to the very patient Zappos rep that she was staying in a Santa Monica hotel and really craving a pepperoni pizza, that room service was no longer delivering hot food, and that she wanted to know if there was anything Zappos could do to help. The Zappos rep was initially a bit confused by the request, but she quickly recovered and put us on hold. She returned 2 minutes later, listing the 5 closest places in the Santa Monica area that were still open and delivering pizza at that time. Now, truth be told, I was a little hesitant to include this story because I don't actually want everyone who's listening to this audiobook to start calling Zappos and ordering pizza. But I just think it's a fun story to illustrate the power of not having scripts in your call center and empowering your employees to do what's right for your brand, no matter how unusual or bizarre the situation. As for my friend from Skechers, after that phone call, she's now a customer for life. Top 10 ways to instill customer service into your company. 1. Make customer service a priority for the whole company, not just a department. A customer service attitude needs to come from the top. 2. Make wow a verb that is part of your company's everyday vocabulary. 3. Empower and trust your customer service reps. Trust that they want to provide great service, because they actually do. Escalations to a supervisor should be rare. 4. Realize that it's okay to fire customers who are insatiable or abuse your employees. 5. Don't measure call times. Don't force employees to upsell, and don't use scripts. 6. Don't hide your 1-800 number. It's a message not just to your customers, but to your employees as well. 7. View each call as an investment in building a customer service brand, not as an expense you're seeking to minimize. 8. Have the entire company celebrate great service. Tell stories of wow experiences to everyone in the company. 9. Find and hire people who are already passionate about customer service. 10. Give great service to everyone, customers, employees, and vendors. Culture. Today, we offer tours of our headquarters in Las Vegas to the general public. Tours take about an hour, and we open ourselves up to the public today because we found that it's a great way for people to get a true sense of our culture. It's one thing to read about it, but almost everyone who has gone on our tour tells us that it isn't until they actually visit our offices and feel our culture that they finally understand why it's so important. It wasn't always this way. We certainly never planned to give public tours. It's just another example of something that evolved organically over time for us, and our employees chose to embrace it and take it to the next level. Today, we work with more than 1,000 different vendors. In the beginning, whenever a new vendor visited our offices, someone from our merchandising team would give them a tour of our operations. Over time, as word of mouth spread, we found that friends of our vendors wanted to get a tour. And eventually, we started getting random requests from friends and customers to go on a tour. In the early days, a tour would take less than 10 minutes. But as more and more people started touring our offices, different groups within Zappos started to come up with different ideas on how to make each tour more and more of a wow experience for our visitors. Every tour is different, because you never know who is going to be in the office or what a team decided to do over the weekend to surprise our visitors. If you were to show up for a tour today, you might find a popcorn machine or a coffee machine dressed up as a robot in our lobby. As you pass through different departments, you might find an aisle of cowbells, a makeshift bowling alley built by our software developers, employees dressed up as pirates, employees karaokeing, a nap room, a petting zoo, or a hot dog social. You might see a parade pass by because one of our departments decided that it was a perfect day to celebrate Oktoberfest. And you might say hi to our life coach, our own internal version of Tony Robbins, wear a crown, and get your picture taken and put up next to pictures of Serena Williams or Gladys Knight when they came and toured our offices. Or you might happen to show up during our annual Bald and Blue Day, where employees volunteer to get their heads shaved by other employees.
The origins of Bald and Blue Day. Our annual Bald and Blue tradition started as a dare while a few of us were hanging out at a bar. An email went out the next day, June 7th, 2005, from Renee N. to Las Vegas Zappos employees. Subject: Bald is beautiful. Hello all. A challenge, or should I say invitation, by someone who will remain nameless, has been put out to all the brave men at Zappos to shave their heads bald or shave down to a number one. Tony will be participating in shaving his head as well. We are looking for at least 30 men or more to take part in this just because event. So far we have 15 brave men. We need some women volunteers to help shave these brave men's heads and volunteers to bring in at least 5 clippers with the number one attachment. For those of us not participating in shaving our heads, please show your support by wearing your Zappos t-shirts and or wearing your Zappos hats. This will take place tomorrow, June 8th at 12:30 p.m. at the patio outside the lunchroom. Please respond to me ASAP if you'd like to participate in shaving your head or if you'd like to be a volunteer. Thanks.
Our employees know that our number one priority at Zappos is our company culture. While all of the things I just mentioned have come about organically, most of them I don't even know about until they've already happened, a few of the things we do are more purposeful and planned. For example, we have all of our employees walk through a central reception area to get in and out of the building, even though there are more convenient doors located closer to the parking lot. The previous tenants had used all the doors in our building for exiting, but we decided to mark them all for use as emergency exits only. We made this decision when we moved into our building as part of our goal to build more of a community by increasing the chances of serendipitous employee interactions. In most companies, logging into the computer systems requires a login and password. At Zappos, an additional step is required. A photo of a randomly selected employee is displayed, and the user is given a multiple-choice test to name that employee. Afterwards, the profile and bio of that employee are shown, so that everyone can learn more about each other. Although there is no penalty for giving the wrong answer, we do keep a record of everyone's score. Internally, we refer to this as the face game. We also try to measure the strength of our culture through regular employee surveys by asking employees whether they agree or disagree with statements such as, "I believe that the company has a higher purpose beyond just profits. My role at Zappos has a real purpose. It is more than just a job. I feel that I am in control of my career path and that I am progressing in my personal and professional development at Zappos. I consider my coworkers to be like my family and friends. I am very happy in my job." We're always on the lookout for ways to improve our company culture, no matter how unconventional or counterintuitive the approach may be. For example, a research study showed that letting workers swear at will in the workplace can benefit employees and employers. The article went on to cite that employees use swearing on a continuous basis, but not necessarily in a negative, abusive manner. Swearing is used as a social phenomenon to reflect solidarity and enhance group cohesiveness, or as a psychological phenomenon to release stress. We forwarded the article to our managers. Over time, as we focused more and more on our culture, we ultimately came to the realization that a company's culture and a company's brand are really just two sides of the same coin. The brand is just a lagging indicator of a company's culture. This realization eventually led me to write the following blog post. Your culture is your brand. Building a brand today is very different from building a brand 50 years ago. It used to be that a few people got together in a room, decided what the brand positioning was going to be, then spent a lot of money buying advertising telling people what their brand was. And if you were able to spend enough money, then you were able to build your brand. It's a very different world today. With the internet connecting everyone together, companies are becoming more and more transparent, whether they like it or not. An unhappy customer or a disgruntled employee can blog about a bad experience with a company, and the story can spread like wildfire by email or with tools like Twitter. The good news is that the reverse is true as well. A great experience with a company can be read by millions of people almost instantaneously as well. The fundamental problem is that you can't possibly anticipate every possible touchpoint that could influence the perception of your company's brand. For example, if you happen to meet an employee of Company X at a bar, even if the employee isn't working, how you perceive your interaction with that employee will affect how you perceive Company X, and therefore Company X's brand. It can be a positive influence or a negative influence. Every employee can affect your company's brand, not just the frontline employees that are paid to talk to your customers. At Zappos.com, we decided a long time ago that we didn't want our brand to be just about shoes or clothing or even online retailing. We decided that we wanted to build our brand to be about the very best customer service and the very best customer experience. We believe that customer service shouldn't just be a department. It should be the entire company. Advertising can only get your brand so far. If you ask most people what the brand of the airline industry as a whole is, not any specific airline, but the entire industry, they will usually say something about bad customer service or bad customer experience. If you ask people what their perception of the U.S. auto industry is today, chances are the responses you get won't be in line with what the automakers project in their advertising. So what's a company to do if you can't just buy your way into building the brand you want? What's the best way to build a brand for the long term? In a word, culture. At Zappos, our belief is that if you get the culture right, most of the other stuff, like great customer service or building a great long-term brand or passionate employees and customers, will happen naturally on its own. We believe that your company's culture and your company's brand are really just two sides of the same coin. The brand may lag the culture at first, but eventually it will catch up. Your culture is your brand. So, how do you build and maintain the culture that you want? It starts with the hiring process. At Zappos, we actually do two different sets of interviews. The hiring manager and his or her team will do the standard set of interviews looking for relevant experience, technical ability, fit within the team, etc. But then, our HR department does a separate set of interviews looking purely for culture fit. Candidates have to pass both sets of interviews in order to be hired. We've actually said no to a lot of very talented people that we know can make an immediate impact on our top or bottom line. But because we felt they weren't culture fits, we were willing to sacrifice the short-term benefits in order to protect our culture, and therefore our brand, for the long term. After hiring, the next step to building the culture is training. Everyone that is hired into our headquarters goes through the same training that our customer loyalty team or call center reps go through, regardless of department or title. You might be an accountant or a lawyer or a software developer. You go through the exact same training program. It's a 4-week training program in which we go over company history, the importance of customer service, the long-term vision of the company, our philosophy about company culture, and then you're actually on the phone for 2 weeks taking calls from customers. Again, this goes back to our belief that customer service shouldn't just be a department. It should be the entire company. At the end of the first week of training, we make an offer to the entire class. We offer everyone $2,000 to quit in addition to paying them for the time they've already worked, and it's a standing offer until the end of the fourth week of training. We want to make sure that employees are here for more than just a paycheck. We want employees that believe in our long-term vision and want to be a part of our culture. As it turns out, on average, less than 1% of people end up taking the offer. One of the great advantages of focusing on culture is when reporters come and visit our offices. Unlike most companies, we don't give reporters a small list of people they're allowed to talk to. Instead, we encourage them to walk around and talk to whoever they want. It's our way of being as transparent as possible, which is part of our culture. We've formally defined the Zappos culture in terms of 10 core values. 1. Deliver wow through service. 2. Embrace and drive change. 3. Create fun and a little weirdness. 4. Be adventurous, creative, and open-minded. 5. Pursue growth and learning. 6. Build open and honest relationships with communication. 7. Build a positive team and family spirit. 8. Do more with less. 9. Be passionate and determined. 10. Be humble. Many companies have core values, but they don't really commit to them. They usually sound like something you'd read in a press release. Maybe you learn about them on day one of orientation, but after that, it's just a meaningless plaque on the wall of the lobby. We believe that it's really important to come up with core values that you can commit to. And by commit, we mean that you're willing to hire and fire based on them. If you're willing to do that, then you're well on your way to building a company culture that is in line with the brand you want to build. You can let all of your employees be your brand ambassadors, not just the marketing or PR department. And they can be brand ambassadors both inside and outside the office. At the end of the day, just remember that if you get the culture right, most of the other stuff, including building a great brand, will fall into place on its own. Even though our core values guide us in everything we do today, we didn't actually have any formal core values for the first 6 or 7 years of the company's history. It's my fault that we didn't do it in the early years, because it was something I'd always thought of as a very corporate thing to do. I resisted doing it for as long as possible. I'm just glad that an employee finally convinced me that it was necessary to come up with core values, essentially a formalized definition of our culture, in order for us to continue to scale and grow. I only wish we had done it sooner. Core values. Back in San Francisco, Nick, Fred, and I tried to interview every prospective employee to make sure they were a culture fit for Zappos. When we moved the company to Vegas, we were hiring a lot of people very quickly due to our rapid growth. It wasn't scalable for us to be involved with every new hire decision. But the problem was that because we had so many new employees, not everyone knew exactly what we were looking for when we said we were looking for a culture fit. Someone from our legal department suggested that we come up with a list of core values to serve as a guide for managers to make hiring decisions. So I started jotting down the things that we were looking for. I thought about all the employees I wanted to clone because they represented the Zappos culture well, and tried to figure out what values they personified. I also thought about all the employees and ex-employees who were not culture fits and tried to figure out where there was a values disconnect. As I started creating the list, I realized that I needed to get everyone's input on what our core values should be, just like we had done with the culture book when we asked every employee for their thoughts on what the Zappos culture was. The initial list had 37 core values. 1. Culture is everything. 2. Wow or service. 3. Trust and faith. 4. Idealism. 5. Company growth. 6. Long term. 7. Personal growth and stretching. 8. Achieving the impossible. 9. Team. 10. Family and relationships. 11. Emotional connections. 12. Developing your gut. 13. Empowerment. 14. Ownership. 15. Taking initiative. 16. Doing whatever it takes. 17. Not being afraid to make mistakes. 18. Unconventional. 19. Bottom up meets top down. 20. Partnerships. 21. Listening. 22. Overcommunicate. 23. Operational excellence. 24. Built for change. 25. Continuous incremental improvement. 26. Doing more with less. 27. Innovation. 28. Word of mouth. 29. Lucky. 30. Passion and positivity. 31. Personality. 32. Openness and honesty. 33. Fun. 34. Inspirational. 35. A little weird. 36. Willing to laugh at ourselves. 37. Quiet confidence and respect. It was a long list, so we started thinking about which values were the most important and truly represented who we wanted to be. We also thought about whether we could combine some of them into a single core value. Over the course of a year, I emailed the entire company several times and got a lot of suggestions and feedback on which core values were the most important to our employees. I was surprised the process took so long, but we wanted to make sure not to rush through the process because whatever core values we eventually came up with, we wanted to be ones that we could truly embrace. The commitment part was the most challenging part. As I mentioned in my Your Culture is Your Brand blog post, a lot of corporations have core values or guiding principles, but the problem is they're usually very lofty sounding and they read like a press release that the marketing department put out. A lot of times, an employee might learn about them on day one of orientation, but then the values just end up being part of a meaningless plaque on the wall of the corporate lobby. We wanted to make sure that didn't happen with our core values. We wanted a list of committable core values that we were willing to hire and fire on. If we weren't willing to do that, then they weren't really values. We eventually came up with our final list of 10 core values, which we still use today. 1. Deliver wow through service. 2. Embrace and drive change. 3. Create fun and a little weirdness. 4. Be adventurous, creative, and open-minded. 5. Pursue growth and learning. 6. Build open and honest relationships with communication. 7. Build a positive team and family spirit. 8. Do more with less. 9. Be passionate and determined. 10. Be humble. Integrity was a value that had been suggested by some employees, but I made a conscious choice to leave it out. I felt that integrity would come from us actually committing to and living up to our core values in everything we did, not just referring to them when it was convenient. Over time, our recruiting department developed interview questions for each and every one of the core values, and we tested our commitment during the hiring process. Be humble is probably the core value that ends up affecting our hiring decisions the most. There are a lot of experienced, smart, and talented people we interview that we know can make an immediate impact on our top or bottom line. But a lot of them are also really egotistical, so we end up not hiring them. At most companies, the hiring manager will probably argue that we should hire such a candidate because he or she will add a lot of value to the company, which is probably why most large corporations don't have great cultures. Our philosophy at Zappos is that we're willing to make short-term sacrifices, including lost revenue or profits, if we believe that the long-term benefits are worth it. Protecting the company culture and sticking to core values is a long-term benefit. Once we had our final list of 10 core values, I sent an email to the entire company describing each of them in more detail. We still refer to the original email today. In fact, when new employees join the company, they're required to sign a document stating that they have read the core values document and understand that living up to the core values is part of their job expectation. Zappos Core Values Document. The Zappos Mission: to live and deliver wow. As we grow as a company, it has become more and more important to explicitly define the Zappos core values from which we develop our culture, our brand, and our business strategies. With so many employees joining the company as we grow, we want to make sure that everyone is on the same page and acting consistently with what we want Zappos to be all about. Over time, we will be restructuring performance evaluations so that a big part of every employee's performance evaluation is based on how well he or she represents and makes decisions based on the Zappos core values. While there are many subcomponents to each value, we've distilled the most important themes into the following 10 core values. 1. Deliver wow through service. 2. Embrace and drive change. 3. Create fun and a little weirdness. 4. Be adventurous, creative, and open-minded. 5. Pursue growth and learning. 6. Build open and honest relationships with communication. 7. Build a positive team and family spirit. 8. Do more with less. 9. Be passionate and determined. 10. Be humble. Ideally, we want all 10 core values to be reflected in everything we do, including how we interact with each other, how we interact with our customers, and how we interact with our vendors and business partners. There's a lot of work that lies ahead, and it will be quite some time before our 10 core values are truly reflected in how we think, how we act, and how we communicate. As we grow, our processes and strategies may change, but we want our values to always remain the same. Our core values should always be the framework from which we make all our decisions. Because this is our first time publishing our core values, there may be some additions or changes made over the next year, but our goal is to ultimately decide on a final list of core values to serve as the framework for how we run and grow the company. I encourage everyone to re-examine everything that is being done at the company and ask yourself, what changes can be made to better reflect our core values? For example, our employee handbook could be improved so it sounds more like Zappos and less like an employee handbook that you might find at another company. The forms that we use internally are job application forms, some of our email templates, parts of our website, and much, much more can all be improved to feel more like Zappos and better reflect our core values. So the challenge to everyone is this. Make at least one improvement every week that makes Zappos better reflect our core values. The improvements don't have to be dramatic. It can be as simple as adding an extra sentence or two to a form to make it more fun, for example. But if every employee made just one small improvement every week to better reflect our core values, then by the end of this year, we will have over 50,000 small changes that collectively will be a very dramatic improvement compared to where we are today. Here's a brief description of each of the 10 core values. Deliver wow through service. At Zappos, anything worth doing is worth doing with wow. Wow is such a short, simple word, but it really encompasses a lot of things. To wow, you must differentiate yourself, which means do something a little unconventional and innovative. You must do something that's above and beyond what's expected. And whatever you do, must have an emotional impact on the receiver. We are not an average company, our service is not average, and we don't want our people to be average. We expect every employee to deliver wow. Whether internally with coworkers or externally with our customers and partners, delivering wow results in word of mouth. Our philosophy at Zappos is to wow with service and experience, not with anything that relates directly to monetary compensation. For example, we don't offer blanket discounts or promotions to customers. We seek to wow our customers, our coworkers, our vendors, our partners, and in the long run, our investors. Ask yourself, what are things you can improve upon in your work or attitude to wow more people? Have you wowed at least one person today?
Deliver Wow Through Service by Martha C. In 1984, I had spent 7 weeks traveling through Europe. By the time I got to London, my last stop before returning to the States, I had no money left except for my lucky US dollar and the handful of foreign coins at the bottom of my handbag. Thirsty, I grabbed a soda from the snack bar and read the sign, Foreign Money Accepted. By the time I reached the front of the register line, I had almost downed the whole can when I spotted another sign, No Foreign Coins, Paper Currency Only. My attempt to convince the cashier to take all my coins was futile, and the last thing I wanted to do was part with my lucky dollar. Suddenly, the gentleman behind me reached over and paid for my soda. I thanked him and tried giving him all my coins, but he refused. He just asked that I start doing random acts of kindness for others. That one incident with a stranger in the London airport stayed with me forever. Fast forwarding to last Tuesday morning, 2008, I just finished checking off my long shopping list at Walgreens and stepped up to the register. Two people who only had a few items got in line behind me, so naturally I let them go first. When it was my turn, the cashier was about a third of the way through my items when an older gentleman filed in line. Two cans of peanuts, salve, and chapstick were in his hands. I turned to him and asked him to give them to me. With a puzzled look on his face, he asked why. I completely meant to say, it's a random act of kindness, but instead the words, it's a random act of wowness, came out of my mouth. Since working at Zappos, the word wow replaced kind on its own. Rather than correct what I said, I just went with it. The cashier scanned and placed the items in a bag and handed it to the gentleman. He looked at me and said, tell me about this random act of wowness. He listened to my story about the stranger in London, profusely thanked me, and left the store. Now it was the cashier's turn to look at me strangely. He too wanted to know about random acts of wowness, and I explained how I work at Zappos, and one of our core values is to wow our customers. Leaving that store, I had an incredible feeling. Not only did I share wowness, I shared it with two people and could only hope that they might pay it forward as well someday. A few days later, on my way home from Zappos, after my night shift, I walked into the same Walgreens at 7 a.m. I had barely stepped foot into the store when I heard, "Hi, Martha!" I realized it was the same cashier from the other day. Surprised, I said, "I can't believe you remember my name." He replied, "I wrote your name down from the credit card receipt because I didn't want to forget the person that taught me about random acts of wow and kindness. I've told others about it, too." The funny thing was, he was the one now wowing me in return.
Embrace and drive change. Part of being in a growing company is that change is constant. For some people, especially those who come from bigger companies, the constant change can be somewhat unsettling at first. If you are not prepared to deal with constant change, then you're probably not a good fit for the company. We must all learn not only to not fear change, but to embrace it enthusiastically, and perhaps even more important, encourage and drive it. We must always plan for and be prepared for constant change. Although change can and will come from all directions, it's important that most of the changes in the company are driven from the bottom up, from the people who are on the front lines, closer to the customers and/or issues. Never accept or be too comfortable with the status quo, because the companies that get into trouble are historically the ones that aren't able to adapt to change and respond quickly enough. We are ever evolving. If we want to continue to stay ahead of our competition, we must continually change and keep them guessing. Others can copy our images, our shipping, and the overall look of our website, but they cannot copy our people, our culture, or our service. And they will not be able to evolve as fast as we can as long as embracing constant change is part of our culture. Ask yourself, how do you plan and prepare for change? Do you view new challenges optimistically? Do you encourage and drive change? How do you encourage more change to be driven from the bottom up? Are you empowering your direct reports to drive change?
The Power of 1%, blog posted by Alfred L., CFO and COO of Zappos.com. January 2009. It was the best of times and it was the worst of times. A quote from A Tale of Two Cities by Charles Dickens. On CNBC Reports 2008, Maria Bartiromo quoted Charles Dickens, noting that while Dickens was referring to the French Revolution, he could have easily been talking about 2008. No doubt, 2008 was a very challenging year, starting out with a weak economic and retail environment that degraded slowly in the first half of the year, and then fell off a cliff in the second half of the year. Depending on what reports you read, online e-commerce was down 3-5% this holiday season, marking the first time e-commerce didn't grow. Reading about these not-so-positive reports just goes to show how very lucky we are at Zappos, because we were able to ride through these rocky times and produce pretty incredible results. No, things weren't perfect, but 2008 was still a great year for us. Official results will have to wait until our finance team closes the books and releases the audited financials in early March, but we managed to grow our business over last year and during the holiday season, when e-commerce was down, exceeding $1 billion in gross merchandise sales. And by doing more with less, we kept ourselves profitable and cash positive, all the while having a lot of fun serving our customers. We can reminisce about 2008, but now that 2009 is here and we're back from some much-needed downtime, it's time to get our A-game back on. We'll be going over our goals and official plans as soon as our board approves them. But even before that officially happens, we already know what we need to do. One thing I would encourage you to do is to refer back to our core values document and make at least one improvement every week that makes Zappos better. Ideally, we would do this every single day. It sounds daunting, but remember, improvements don't have to be dramatic. Think about what it means to improve just 1% per day and build upon that every single day. Doing so has a dramatic effect and will make us 37 times better at the end of the year, not 365% or 3.65 times better. Wake up every day and ask yourself not only what is the 1% improvement that I can change to make Zappos better, but also what is the 1% improvement I can change to make myself better, personally and professionally. In the end, we, as Zappos, can't grow unless we, as individuals, grow too. Imagine yourself making 1% changes every day that compound and consequently make you and Zappos 37 times better by the end of the year. Imagine if every employee at Zappos was to do the same. Imagine how much better you, Zappos, and the world would be next year. It won't be easy, and 2009 will no doubt present its own set of challenges, but we positively will get through it. Have a great and happy 2009. P.S. This is for the math geeks. If you start out with $100 at the beginning of the year and you were able to increase what you have by 1% every single day, at the end of the year, you would have $3,778.34. That is 37.78 times what you had at the beginning of the year. Get that 1% every single day. P.P.S. Yes, I am a math geek. No, I wasn't cool enough to join the football team, so I joined the math team. Thanks for putting up with me.
Create fun and a little weirdness. One of the things that makes Zappos different from a lot of other companies is that we value being fun and being a little weird. We don't want to become one of those big companies that feel corporate and boring. We want to be able to laugh at ourselves. We look for both fun and humor in our daily work. This means that many things we do might be a little unconventional, or else it wouldn't be a little weird. We're not looking for crazy or extreme weirdness, though. We want just a touch of weirdness to make life more interesting and fun for everyone. We want the company to have a unique and memorable personality. Our company culture is what makes us successful, and in our culture, we celebrate and embrace our diversity and each person's individuality. We want people to express their personality in their work. To outsiders, that might come across as inconsistent or weird. But the consistency is in our belief that we function best when we can be ourselves. We want the weirdness in each of us to be expressed in our interactions with each other and in our work. One of the side effects of encouraging weirdness is that it encourages people to think outside the box and be more innovative. When you combine a little weirdness with making sure everyone is also having fun at work, it ends up being a win-win for everyone. Employees are more engaged in the work that they do, and the company as a whole becomes more innovative. Ask yourself, what can we do to be a little weird and differentiate ourselves from everyone else? What can we do that's both fun and a little weird? How much fun do you have in your job? And what can you do to make it more fun? What do you do to make your coworkers' jobs fun as well?
Fun and a Little Weird. Live Chat. A blog post by Todd, a Zappos customer. The reason I was testing out Zappos Live Chat was because I am cruiser-in-chief of a beach cruiser store, and I was curious how Zappos would handle my chat. Zappos is known for service and for letting their service agents be themselves. I put this to the test tonight and threw a curveball or two at the guy helping me in a live chat. I used the name Timmy as my alias and asked a totally random question about a random product. Here's the actual chat. Zappos rocks. I couldn't even make this stuff up. I swear.
You are now chatting with Jonathan. Hello, Timmy. How may I help you?
Do you know how wide the G-Shock Atomic Solar AW...